Okay. Thank you for that reading of Psalms 26. And now we're going to be in Hebrews, and we're just going to be in Hebrews verses 1 through 4 is our passage today. And I'm going to read it through, and then I'm going to go back, and I'm going to talk about it, okay? Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. But that was Paul talking. Last day, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand, there's that right hand, of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. That's why we don't need to pray to angels. We pray to God the Father, who answers through the Son, Jesus Christ. All things were given to him. In a commentary, anybody ever heard of Barclay's commentary? That's a great commentary to have. He says, the basic idea of this letter is that Jesus Christ alone brings men to the full revelation of God. So when we're talking about bring somebody to Christ, Jesus Christ alone, and I agree with this, brings to men the full revelation of God. Does that make sense to us? Can we all agree with that? I hope we can. I hope we think it's not our exact words that we say or the exact thing that we do within these compounds of these walls. Jesus Christ alone brings men to the full revelation of God. The author of Hebrews, who we know is who? Paul. Is asking us to think about the qualities of Jesus that are exhibited during his life here on earth. The qualities he showed while he was here, because that's what we have to go by, right? We've seen it. Everything that we read speaks to the qualities. He starts right on this main point because he repeats it over and over again throughout Hebrews, talking about the superiority of Christ. He is superior. And we got to understand that. God has spoken many times in many ways. And in the Old Testament, he primarily spoke through who? Prophets. He spoke through prophets. Christ is supreme because these prophets were sent by God to prepare the way for Christ. We're sent by God. Then we cross over and we get into the New Testament. And then you find John the Baptist pulling over to the New Testament and paving the new way. That's the last one you hear from. As a prophet, the last one we hear from, right in the New Testament in Matthew. They all came to prepare the way for the Messiah. Here's the way they did it. See if you agree. They prepared the way by showing people their lost state and their need for help from God. Israelites needed help. Okay. Prepared. They prepared the way by showing that people can't get to God by their own effort. Just can't do it. And they prepared the way with prophecies, hundreds of them, about the future Messiah. So we've learned some time ago, and in case you haven't heard this, the Old Testament points to Jesus in the New Testament. Okay, the Old Testament, because people say that God, I want the New Testament God, one in the same. God speaks in many different ways, or he spoke in many different ways in the Old Testament, right? Name one way that God spoke in the Old Testament when he was speaking to his people. How would he speak to them? Through a bush, okay. Pillar of fire, angels, huh? Ark of the Covenant. How about through face to face? A donkey. So could we include, he would speak to them through visions? Could we include dreams? Someone already said angelic messengers. Anybody ever ran into an angel with a message for you? Remember, when they say, don't be afraid, then you know you're okay. When they say, time to go, okay. Out-of-body experiences. They had out-of-body experiences. Couple. Two. We can go back. Prophets and scripture. He spoke to them through scripture. And he spoke through his son, Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament. The word. He spoke through his son. God created us, people, period, with a spirit that needs a relationship with him. And here's the fact. If you don't have a relationship with him because you have this need for relationship, you're going to find something to fill that for you. And that's why people sometimes invent religions. We invent them. Oh, this is good. Let's meditate because I feel better when I do that. And let's call that religion in itself because my higher self is all I need. And wondering why that hole is never filled because only God can fill it. Only God can fill it. And the problem is, since we're created beings, we cannot ourselves understand who God is. You can't understand who God is unless he reveals it to you because he created you. Does that make sense? We can't fully understand his plan because he doesn't reveal it all at once. Philosophers and groups of people sit around and they contemplate the meaning of the universe. And they speculate on issues. Every now and then, they try to bridge the supernatural and create those new things that they think, this is going to take care of it. This is going to speak to it. This is going to give us understanding. But they're only guessing. They're only guessing. It's a man-made system for understanding the world. You don't want me making up something because it would be a mess. Okay? It would be a mess. I just make up stuff. The problem is that we must depend on God to reveal himself. So we must look in the places where God does that. Where does he do that? In scripture, in his word, through his people, through those he gives divine revelation. Now, remember, I've always said, if it doesn't line up with scripture, don't do it. It must line up with who God is. It must line up with who God is. He has revealed himself to us. You think about parents. You educate your children, right? Because you want them to do well. You're the one who gives them the morals. Yours. You give them yours. And prayerfully, you're following God, right? Because if you're not, they just do anything they want. And that's a problem, isn't it? And that's why we have schools where kids are doing anything they want. They don't understand. They're not getting the guidance. They don't understand. Why is it a problem to say, one girl said to me when I said, I ask you to stop doing that. She went, girl. I almost jumped over some chairs. I said, did you say girl to me? That was the most, that was this week. That was fascinating. Girl, well, she got in all kinds of trouble. Oh, I remain calm. I'm determined to live out the remaining existence as a teacher without losing my pension. That is my goal in life right now. Just a couple more years, folks. Just a couple more years. I know it was. He reveals himself. He reveals his purposes. He reveals his plans to us in a way that we can understand, right? It's really not some tricky way where go to this scripture and go to that scripture because it's progressive. God's kind of progressive in the way that he did it, right? The Old Testament to the New Testament, all the way to Revelation. We must do everything to learn about it. Maybe that's what we should be doing. Do everything we can to learn about his revelation by studying his word. Study his word. Talk to each other about it. And guess what else? Obey it. Oh, I said it. Listen. Follow. For whatever reason, God did not choose to reveal himself all at once. But you know, we're in a good place because we got the whole story and we know how it ends. Back then, they didn't know. We know how this is going to end up. We know where we're going, right? Now, we might be like this as we're getting there. But step by step, light by light, be a lamp unto my feet. Guide me in the way I'm going to walk. He's not going to give you 10 steps. He's going to give you one. Be obedient to the one step. Then he gives you the next step. We can't, you know, Jesus sits at the right hand, and Jesus took us up to heaven when he went up to heaven, right? He took us up to heaven because he took all of our sins and everything with him. So to cover them. So when he's talking, it's not really you talking. He's interceding and he's whispering. I always think he's whispering to God like he has to whisper. They're talking. They're son and father talking. They're making things clear. He's making things clear when we can't utter the words that are right. We just have what we have. We don't even know how to pray sometimes, but he's making it clear through the power of the Holy Spirit. My friend at the shop said, I was discussing this with those ladies, my shop wisdom. She says, we try to jump to get to the right hand of God ourselves instead of going through the things that we have to go through, because we do have to go through some things, right? Anybody not been through anything? We have to go through some things to get to the right hand of God. And Jesus, we got to understand, who is Jesus? Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray and I understand that you're going to intercede for me through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what to say, but I know that my mumblings and groanings can be heard clearly as you're saying, here's what she means. Here's what she's trying to get across. He has spoken to us through his son. Jesus is the very mouthpiece of God. Even at 12 years old, right? They're sitting there asking him questions at the age of 12. And he's sitting up there answering. Because his answers were coming from his father and coming out. 12 years old. Hannah, do you feel like you could do that at 12? I know, you're not on the spot. I couldn't do it at 12. And my mother made us read the Bible every weekend with questions and da 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 da. I could answer questions, but I couldn't live it exactly right, Mom. But she knew that. But Jesus is the very spokesperson of God. Jesus speaks for the Father. He is his representative. Jesus not only spoke the words of God, he lived as God. He lived as man. He lived as God as man. Hard to understand, right? He showed us a perfect example of how to react in many different situations. You know that saying, what would Jesus do? Literally, what would Jesus do in this situation? Don't make up what you think he will do. What would Jesus do in this situation? His actions were 100% perfect every time. Anybody got every action 100% perfect every time? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. What would Jesus do? And then do it. What did he say? Then say it. Don't say it with these and thou. Say it in contemporary language that somebody can understand. In verses 2 through 4, it goes on just to speak about the supremacy of Christ. He's supreme. It's the main theme of the whole book. So if you look, he gives us like eight things in those little verses of who Christ is. So I'm going to go through them. In verse 2, it says, but these in these last days, he's spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things. That's one. He's heir of all things. Next, through whom he also created the world. That's two. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. I got four right there. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Five. After making purification for sin, he died for us. Six. He sat down at the right hand in majesty on high. Seven. Would have been nice to stay with that number of completion. Then they say one more. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So he is more excellent than the angels. People pray to angels. He is more excellent. And we don't have to go through anybody to get to him. Knowing all this, do you agree that he's worthy of our praise? He should be exalted on high. Knowing these things, he has us in our situations well in hand. Get to knowing. Don't bypass him trying to get to the answer before you get to know who you're asking. Jesus is God's final word. For in him, all things have been done. And when he says it is finished, that's precisely what he meant. Amen. That brings us to communion, because I am finished. I thought about communion. I wanted those times. You got to have those times when you just praise God. Lenny wasn't, he was going to a conference today. Thank you. And he's never there when I'm like getting dressed and calling on Alexa to, thank you, to play particular songs. So, and that happens to be in his second bedroom. So we have, you know, the bedroom together, then he has his dressing bedroom, everything, and I have mine. Yes, his is much more neater than mine, right? But Alexa is in his bedroom. So I'm leaning in his room as he's getting ready, and I'm going, Alexa, play Come Jesus Come. And he looks at me, and Alexa starts playing. Alexa, play My Help. I'm leaving. Lenny's hearing all that. I said, he's going to be using this soon, because he never uses the Alexa in that room, and he really should. So it's like getting all that, getting ready to just come in and just getting ready to praise God for who he is and what he's done. I said, I wanted to find a scripture that goes along with communion today, because this should be our prayer. And it kind of goes along with the Psalm 26 that we read today. And it's Psalm, you know it, 51, but I'm only going to read verses 10 through 17. Okay. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Sarah, you said that other one didn't sound like me. This sounds more like me, right? Yeah. All right. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. I'm in 14. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. And you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. And you do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Communion brings our brokenness. before God. Let's lay it all out there, our brokenness. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you, broken, contrite in spirit. Lord, thinking we have answers that we have no answers to. Your final word has been given. Help us to follow the light that Jesus just allows us to walk step by step. Lord, hear our pleas, hear our prayers. We thank you for just being able to come to you and lift up the name of Jesus and lift up your name, Father God. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for the connection. We thank you for everything. We don't walk out of here downtrodden and feeling like I'm not good enough, because we aren't. But you, Lord, are. And you live in us and we live in you. So as we take this communion, we say thank you. Thank you for the shed blood. Thank you for the body that was bruised, broken. And we give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.